The Other Side of Midnight. 77 WNBC. Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Morano. I was at my dad's yesterday, and I was sitting in the backyard with my dad and my cousin Howie, and Howie brings up the Senate campaign of Tammy Murphy. And I said she's doing terribly, and I wouldn't be surprised if she was out of this race before the June primary. Lo and behold, there was a news alert on my phone within 45 minutes announcing that she had suspended her campaign. Here's some of the video message she put out there on social media.
After many busy, invigorating, and yes, challenging months, I am suspending my Senate campaign today. I have been genuine and factual throughout, but it is clear to me that continuing in this race will involve waging a very divisive and negative campaign, which I am not willing to do.
I mean, this is total nonsense. First of all, I love the dramatic music in the background. This has nothing to do with not wanting to attack another Democrat. This has to do with the fact that she was losing. In spite of the fact that she and her husband have every advantage, she is being rejected by both the rank and file and by the party leadership in county after county. She was not being well received. And I think this should be a lesson for any wealthy person that wants to get involved in politics and any spouse of a politician that thinks just because they're well connected and because their husband or wife has greased the skids for them, that means they can slip into an office. That's not the case. You need to check a lot of other boxes, and kudos to Andy Kim. He did the grassroots work necessary to be the Democratic candidate here, and now he's the odds-on favorite to be the next senator from New Jersey. I mean, we'll see what Bob Menendez does in the general election as an independent, but I am happy to see these folks that always seem to have everything handed to them, the Murphys, actually get a little bit of a cold shower through the will of the voters and the party activists. We'll see what happens in the future.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Morano. One of my favorite places in the world to hang out, to spend time at, and for 3 years to work is Coney Island. I absolutely love Coney Island. I love everything about it. I love the people there. I love the ballpark. I love the restaurants. I love the amusements. And while it's still cold outside, yesterday, or this weekend rather, was the official opening of Coney Island's Luna Park. And there was a lot going on there, including a couple getting engaged on the cyclone, or technically as they were getting off the cyclone. And I'm mentioning this not only because it's a fun story of this young couple, Ben Schneider and his now fiancée, being engaged coming off the cyclone, which should certainly earn them a wonderful place in Coney Island history, but because I feel like a lot of folks, both New Yorkers and people from out of town, don't necessarily think of Coney Island as a place to hang out. My brother's girlfriend, her mom is in town, and they're staying in Brooklyn. And as soon as I saw that Luna Park was officially opened, I sent a message to her telling her, you should take your mom here. It is a wonderful place, a wonderful community. And if you like roller coasters especially, there's no better place than Luna Park. So I'm sort of doing this as an announcement for anybody that might not have been to Coney Island in a while. It's a wonderful place to hang out. Are there some areas that could use some improvement? Absolutely. But if you're interested in the boardwalk, amusements, great food, great rides, and great history, there's no place quite like Coney Island. So I do hope you'll check it out now that Luna Park is officially opened. And as it gets a little warmer, as we head into the summer months, which are going to be here before you know it, I think there's going to be even more reason to check out Coney Island. They say there may even be a casino there in the future. Who knows?
Beam me up!
To be continued.
Handling legal matters is stressful. So, let the law offices of Frank Bruno Jr. provide you with the insightful counsel you deserve. The law offices of Frank Bruno Jr. has successfully handled thousands of cases for 25-plus years. They focus on elder law and estate planning, but are equipped to navigate you through all stages of family law and divorce to real estate law and probate. The law offices of Frank Bruno. Call 718-418-5000 or visit them at frankbrunolaw.com. That's frankbrunolaw.com. Frank Bruno. He's your numero uno.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WBC.
Local Spotlight.
I have railed against the congestion pricing that is slated to take place in a couple of months. It is not going to reduce traffic congestion and is really just another tax on working class New Yorkers. And I've applauded people in both New Jersey and New York that have sought to bring lawsuits to put an end to this. Now, one of these lawsuits, the one brought by Borough President Vito Fisella and the UFT, has a little bit of traction, and it gained a lot of traction a couple of days ago, because on Friday, the local chapter of the NAACP joined the opposition to congestion pricing, and they announced they're joining the lawsuit. Here's NAACP chapter president Jasmine Robinson.
What is the meaning of congestion? It means to block, to clog. And this plan is going to clog. This is going to block so much traffic, and this is going to impact our communities negatively.
First of all, she's exactly right, but this is huge news. I know people may think, oh, it's just another interest group, or you may think you don't like the NAACP. This is huge for both political reasons and legal reasons. From a legal perspective, there are all sorts of provisions that prohibit you from discriminating against people, particularly people that have been historically discriminated against. And the fact that an organization that represents black people, which is one of the very groups protected by things like the Voting Rights Act and the 14th Amendment and all sorts of other provisions that are specifically spelled out to correct the wrongs that have been done to them over the years, that is pretty impressive from a legal point of view, but also politically. Now it's not just a bunch of white outer borough New Yorkers that are trying to save a few bucks on their commute to get to work. It's going to be very difficult now that the black community in our city is actually saying this is going to hurt us as well. So kudos to the NAACP for doing the right thing here. And kudos to Borough President Vito Fisella and Minority Leader Joe Borelli for putting together this kind of a coalition, left, right, center. This is what we need to do on issue after issue. And that's the only way you're going to break the back of something like congestion pricing.
Beam me up.
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WBC.
Local Spotlight.
This is incredibly disturbing. In a city that has prioritized people that don't live here over needy New Yorkers, about a quarter of New York City shelter beds, which are designated for runaway and homeless youth, are currently being taken up by migrant children. Now, I'm certainly not an advocate of throwing children out on the street, but I'm also not an advocate of taking homeless and runaway youth and shrugging our shoulders and saying, tough. The Department of Youth and Community Development, what they call DYCD, has confirmed that there were only 813 beds available in city shelters, 60 of which were allocated to young adults aged 21 through 24. That's what she said in a council hearing. That's what they said in a council hearing on Friday. This came as South Bronx Councilwoman Althea Stevens grilled DYCD Commissioner Keith Howard about how the migrant crisis was affecting the availability of beds for New York City's homeless and young adults. Here was the council member.
So could we all agree, do we have enough beds for young adults? What's the answer? No. No, you're not going to say it? All right. I tried.
DYCD officials said the migrant crisis has had a wide-ranging effect on existing programs, including the Young Men's Initiative, a program to address disparities among Black and Latino men ages 16 to 24. And Compass, formerly known as the Out of School Time program, is made up of over 890 programs serving young people grades K through 12. And there apparently has been an influx of migrants in the last 2 years that is very much a serious strain on any city and city resources. It's not me saying this. That's Commissioner Howard saying this. I think this is very alarming. And as Councilmember Stevens said, youth services can't always take the hit when the city is strapped for cash, suggesting that cutting such programs would lead to higher costs in the future. I'm not sure what the city's current budget fight is going to mean for programs like this, but I'll say, in my view, this is one more reason why we should not be rolling out the red carpet for migrants.
Beam me up!
To be continued.